Well, to an arts festival now that hasn't been cancelled or rescheduled. The Auckland Festival of Photography starts in just over 2 weeks with outdoor and online exhibitions. And our guest now can explain how photography can help us understand our heritage better. For photographer Raymond Sangapolitele, photographic images aren't traditionally part of his homeland Samoa's culture or art space. Stories are heard rather than seen, but Raymond hopes photography can complement oral storytelling. He's a New Zealand-born artist. He has family connections in Samoan villages in both the islands of Savi'i and Upolu. He's been commissioned to mount an exhibition for this month's Auckland Festival of Photography at the Pa Homestead for after Queen's Birthday weekend. Raymond Talofa Lava, welcome to 9 to Noon.
Talofa Lava. Good to be here.
Really good and exciting for so many in the arts world now to be able to physically reconnect, not just online, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Also in saying that, though, it's kind of been good to have the space to think and develop and work on, I guess, our art while we've got the downtime Yeah, but really looking forward to being able to reconnect with a lot of friends and family and fellow artists over the next few, I guess.
It's interesting. Some artists I've spoken to have almost downed tools, not in protest, but just because there was an opportunity for a space, a little mental space from always being in their creative zone, and hopefully they'll come back even more energised. It's very interesting how people have differently approached this time.
Oh, totally.
Your own story as a photographer, largely self-taught, almost exclusively self-taught, as I understand it. When did you first pick up the camera?
Cameras have always, I guess, featured in a way, in some way, in my upbringing. Whether it was my parents who had like disposables and you know just little mickey-necky cameras, Polaroids and bits and pieces that we'd pick up from second-hand shops. But I didn't really look at it as a way to develop my artistic practice until, I guess, the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was an illustrator. And I had gone about that process of using that to sort of express myself. But then when my wife decided to take a night class and... the main reason behind that was we had an SLR, but we just chucked it on auto and never really paid much mind to it. And then when she started doing the course, I became curious. I started seeing the potential of what the camera could do, and it just took off from there.
You went on and completed your master's in visual arts, and did you specialise in photography as part of that?
Yeah. So as an artist whose practice is lens-based, the photography is obviously a major part of it. It was through doing the master's research and also being on the journey of trying to figure out where I sat in relation to being an artist born here, but having a heritage that's Samoan and all the sort of factors that go into that sort of, I guess, way of trying to attune yourself to what's out there. The camera became that part of my process. When I started my master's, part of that question around, you know, what role does the camera play in relation to, say, me telling stories around my upbringing, those connected to me, as well as what it is to be in the diaspora. I had to break away from that mindset of the technology is what sort of dictated where I went, and realise that the wider picture is it's about the process, the oratory that goes into the artwork, and the camera is just part of that process. So going into the Masters, the camera was important. Coming out of the Masters, the camera was part of this overall story around what we do as artists, whether it's a camera, a paintbrush, yeah.
Was a significant part of that Masters work really immersing yourself in the Samoan practice of whangongo, is it? Just help me with my pronunciation.
So with whangongo, I think the tricky part here is a lot of what I researched and what went into my master's was around understanding not so much the identity story, but how being Samoan sits as far as what I output with my art. Now, with whangongo, which is it's an old practice, and it's one that was typically where we would learn stories and chants as taught to us by our elders. And it's something that I have a vague memory of, but it's not something that's still practiced. But then the question came about, what does that practice look like when you're brought up here? Is it a practice that's still relevant? And in a lot of ways, I found that whangongo or telling these stories from my interpretation, from being up here, being brought up in Aotearoa, will differ from what my parents and my grandparents and those of my family back in Samoa will know. But the question around how does it work when it sits here became part of that larger question around there's a lot of aspects of our culture that change when they come here. It's how do you apply that change and how do you approach that in relation to your art, but also maintaining that foundation and that respect that comes from the original. So a lot of what I was doing when I was at AUT was around all of that sort of framing of questions that I had, and then the output was the work I created.
Was this a personal journey as much as a professional and a creative one? Was this a time of real reconnection to your heritage, or a different kind of connection to your heritage? As you said, you're part of the diaspora, and was it a very deep personal process that accompanied the artistic endeavour?
I think any artist will tell you that what they do is deeply personal in regards to their approach. When it applies to what I was doing, I went into my master's kind of with an idea around what I wanted to touch on, not really aware of what going into postgrad and master's would actually mean, because AUT were amazing and they offered me the opportunity to do my postgrad without actually having done the undergrad study. They have a process in place, whereas if you are an artist who has a practice and you've been creating for a while, they assess whether or not you need to go through the undergrad stage of things. And so without that, I kind of came into it from a different angle, but I was backed up in the fact that I'm an older student now. I'm in my late 40s now, so I can draw on a lot of that experience and push that into what I was wanting to research with my master's. And going back to your question around my heritage, I guess when I'm at this stage in my life now where I can kind of look back at all of what I've done, all of the people I've been connected to, all of my family, friends, fellow artists, then I can draw on that experience to sort of start posing questions around, well, I've done all of this, what does it mean in relation to where I'm going now, or how do I add to the wider conversation of what it is that we're doing here in Aotearoa, whether, where is our voice sitting and how are we applying that voice into our work? I guess through that, I then realised that there were great connections through the research, through looking at the historic aspects of what it was to be in this moana, being Samoan, going further back than, our colonial history here, what were the connections that we had pre-European, and then drawing on that to go forward to see where it would take us into the future.
What were the forms or the images that tended to predominate in this photography? Was there a lot of self-portraiture or a lot of portraiture generally?
There was, and a lot of that is because I was talking about my lived experiences. Originally, I wanted to do things around my family and incorporate them into the work, but I kind of realised a lot of it's focused around my view on the world and my lived experience. And egotistical as it sounds, it's not so much about me. It's about trying to work out how I relate to everybody else. So once I do that, I can then start drawing in others to have the wider conversation, which is something that sort of evolved from the practice. It's taking that process of self-reflection and then saying, well, what does it actually mean when you put it in the context of what it is to be Samoan, what it is to be a Samoan living in Aotearoa, what it is to be a Samoan who sees the struggles of the Māori within Aotearoa and a lot of what they're fighting for, and then the wider story about, okay, we've gone here, where do we go through with the Pacific? We've got, you know, our family in Hawaii, we have the Tahitian struggle. There's all these other conversations that kind of come from what started as self-reflection.
It has led into the exploration of a lot of issues, a lot of contemporary issues. What are some of those that have been predominant or common in your work?
Earlier on, I created a work that I called Me Alofa, which was based around my experiences with suicide, my own attempt when I was younger and in my early teens, and how that affected me and what lessons did I learn from that. And not that I'm saying that there's a lesson to be learned from it, but that experience and that the fact that I hadn't spoken about it in such a long time. And when I created the work, one of the first conversations I had to have was with my own sibling. And in doing that and sharing that story, it was something that they weren't aware of, and it shocked them. But it also started some great conversations between us around how we support each other. And then through just the stats that have come out over the recent years, it's not a conversation that's solely something that sticks to our community. It goes beyond that. So in creating work like that, it's not about this is what I'm about. It's more like this is what's happening. Let's discuss this further. So I took those sorts of ideas and I expanded on them. I've touched into that with a few other pieces as well. But, yeah.
Some of the biggest issues around our history in this part of the world. You've mentioned colonisation. I know issues around climate change. These are all explored through aspects of your work as well?
Yeah, so I kind of took a... with the climate change, and I mean, with climate change is like a huge issue, especially for those of us that are connected to the ocean. And we have a historic connection. We have this relationship that, you know, with whatever happens to the ocean affects us and vice versa. And I took that and kind of then looked at it well. In a lot of ways, my recent work, I kind of looked at the effect of colonization in regards to education and the arts, and how our voices as specific artists or sort of sit at the back of everything. When we come into some of these institutions, a lot of what we've been taught coming up to that stage has been framed around Western ideas around what is art and what is seen as the voice around, I guess, the aesthetic of art. And a lot of our voices kind of die along the way. I referred to it as bleaching. Again, a reference to climate change and what happens to coral. It's something that I am passionate about. There are other artists I know who feel that that voice within in the arts kind of gets muted, and so I just wanted to add, I guess, my lima cents or 5 cents to that conversation as well. A great advocate of that has been Dagmar Dyke. I love having conversations with her, and she's an artist that works within education, so yeah.
I was going to ask, is it changing? But listening to you, it sounds like it simply is not.
There are facets of it that are changing, but at the same time, it's, you know, we're kind of the responsibility then comes back on us as artists. What are we doing if we're just going to poke and prod? Is that enough, or should we actually get in there and try and make a change or be there for these other artists that are coming through? And I'm saying that from an artist who comes from a generation where we are the children of that migration that came over last century, but we now have two or three generations since, and what's happening to support them in their journey as artists? Are we doing enough to make sure that we don't repeat the cycle? And that conversation is something that's been prevalent through a few of the groups that I've interacted with. And there is a, I wouldn't say it's a concern, but there's a push now for us to actually, okay, we know what the problem is. Let's actually look at some solutions and try and find a way to make sure that we give voice to these generations coming after us.
Raymond Sangaporotelli is our guest, the photographer, the artist. We are talking about his work that is part of a forthcoming exhibition. Details are on our photographic exhibition. Details are on our website, rnz.co.nz/9to-noon. Raymond, some of your recent photography, and we have some of it up, thank you, in a gallery on our webpage, has been a series of images featuring skulls. And what is the genesis, the driving force of this work?
Yeah, the skulls. Okay, so I've always had a fascination with bones. In Western culture, or what I've noticed is the idea of bone skeletons. It has this. There's a grim reminder of death that's attached to them. An image that stuck in my mind from when I was young was from an encyclopedia set. I think it was based on Australia and New Zealand, that was produced back in the 70s. And there was an image in one of them of, and I'm, don't quote me on this, I'm trying to remember this, but it was, I think it was a Solomon Islander. And he was, it was a portrait of him lying on his side, and the pillow that he used was the skull of an ancestor. And that image had always stuck in my mind. And in conversations with family and talking with other friends and from other Pacific cultures, the idea of bones in the Pacific practice, it's not something that you kind of pull back from. These are representations or parts of who you are, their ancestors. So when I utilize those, the idea of the skull of my work, it's a reflection back on where I've come from or where we've come from, and it's that ancestral link that I apply to my work. I did a series called Memento Mori, which is a play on the idea of Memento Mori, which is a practice of displaying, I guess, the deceased from, I think it was the Victorian era or 19th century. And I took that, and the phrase means remember you will die. And I changed it by calling it Memento Mori, and in Samoan, then the term Mori means truth or honesty. And so it's that play on words saying, well, remember the truth of who you are, the truth of your past, and then how do I apply that in relation to where I sit now as a contemporary artist, and what am I looking at going forward? And a lot of, I did a few skull studies, and I attached different things to them. A lot of them were lathes. That I was gifted at different parts of my journey when I was doing Leadership New Zealand, as well as my studies at AUT. And one of the lathes, which features in the work that's going to be shown at the commission exhibition, was given to me when we commemorated the Black Saturday events, the 90th anniversary last year, which was the fight for independence, which was an event that happened during the fight for independence in Samoa. And that played into the commentary I wanted to make with regards to the work that I presented to the Festival of Photography.
Raymond, what is it that people will see? Just obviously there's a limit to how much you can explain it, but I mentioned it's going to be online some, it's going to be live, the 2020 Auckland Festival of Photography. What might people expect to see of your work there?
So the theme this year is unseen, and I looked at that idea and I thought of a couple ways of working with it, but then I took it as another route, and I wanted to offer the chance that the festival has given me to use my platform to speak into the struggles in West Papua and that fight for independence that's happening in West Papua in relation to, Indonesia and the way it's basically running the place, and it's sort of I guess in a lot of ways it goes back to talking about that journey I had earlier on with my studies and trying to figure out where my voice sits in relation to being part of the Moana, and this gave me the chance to sort of look at our family in the Western Pacific, who more often than not don't get a chance to speak into what happens to them. So I thought, well, if I can at least offer up something that starts the conversation around what's going on with Westapua, their fight for independence, their struggles in relation to their rights to their resources, then I thought this is the perfect platform. And what I'd done in relation to the studies with the skulls again, and that sort of tie into ancestors, I thought related back to that question of, well, what are we doing now as part of this family who occupy this part of the world that have this connection to the ocean? How are we using our voices to raise awareness about those of us who aren't given that platform?
Thank you, and all the best for it. Thanks very much. Raymond Sangapolotele, photographic artist. He is a photographer and an artist. The Auckland Festival of Photography starts in a little over 2 weeks with outdoor and online exhibitions. More details available on our website, rnz.co.nz/9 to noon.